Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight. We have spent months looking forward to tonight. For some of you, maybe it was just right after Thanksgiving ended, but for most of us, it was probably a long time before that we started preparing for, planning for, working towards, even fantasizing about our Christmas celebration tonight and tomorrow. Imagining in our mind's eye what it would be like gathered around our Christmas tree with our friends and our family, with the fireplace roaring to keep us nice and toasty warm on a cold night. The looks of joy on the faces of the people that you love as they open up the presents that you so carefully picked out for them and wrapped for them. I think partly why we love Christmas is because of what we expect that Christmas celebration to be, what we build up that Christmas celebration as in our minds. But how often in your life has the reality of your Christmas celebration lived up to that expectation? How often has that reality lived up to the fantasy that we build the Christmas celebration up to be? I think partly why we put Christmas, especially on such a pedestal, is because of Christmas movies. Our family's been watching a lot of them this last week because our kids have been off from school, and I noticed that at every single one is a fairy tale. They all end happily ever after, right? The bad guy turns good, the guy gets the girl, the perfect snow is falling on the perfect house and the perfect family, and every kid gets exactly what they want for Christmas. But I think what we need in our life, what we need as Christians, what we need as human beings, no matter who we are, no matter what station of life we're in, what we need is not more fantasies, more fairy tales. What we need in life is real. We need real help. We need real hope in this life. We need real joy. We need real purpose. Not for someone in a movie, not for someone on the TV screen, but for us. We need a real sense of permanence. We need a sense of confidence in what is to come for us in our future. We need a sense of belonging. We celebrate tonight as God's people, as those who know the gospel, because we understand that we get all of this and more. And it's not through some fantasy, it's not through some fairy tale, it's through the reality of Christmas. Now, throughout our service so far this evening, we've been reading from the Gospel of Luke. We've been reading his account of what happened on that Christmas night. And he writes with so much clarity and so much emphasis on the fact that what he is writing is real history. It's not a myth, it's not a fairy tale. These are real events that happened to real people at a real point in time when real, verifiable historical figures were in power. It's not a myth, it's not a fairy tale, it's not just a story, it's true. It's a factual account of what really happened. And so while Christmas movies and the celebration is wonderful and huge blessings to us, what Christmas is about, it's not about escaping into a fantasy world. It's not about ignoring and forgetting about our earthly problems. It's about our real life right now. And not just for Christmas Eve, not just for Christmas Day, but for every single day of our life. It's about how our God comes to be with us through the highs and the lows, the joys and the tragedies of our life. It's about you actually really being redeemed and renewed in our Lord. It's about the Son of God being born as a little baby boy. About a nervous first-time mother giving birth in the dark, the cold of night among animals and hay and barnyard smells. It's about the Lord of all being laid in a manger as he, from the very first day of his earthly life, begins this process, begins this mission of saving us, of redeeming us, of saving us from real punishment and real condemnation for our sin. And yes, it's amazing. It is awesome, but it is not imaginary. Jesus is the real life, tangible love of God who has come to walk among us. We always emphasize and talk about on Christmas the conditions, the appalling conditions in which Mary gave birth. Right, with none of the modern conveniences that we enjoy today, like a clean bed or four walls or air conditioning or heat for her. But what I think we overlook is that this is the way that Jesus chose to come into the world. Kids don't get to choose how they're born or what the conditions are like in which they're born, but Jesus did. And he chose to be born in the lowliest way imaginable, in total and complete humility, surrounded by creatures that were less than him, right? And not just animals, but us. And how he was born is how he lived. Jesus, the Lord of all, the glorious God of all creation, was willing to come and live his life surrounded by people like us. Right? Real people who are guilty of sin. Real people who live messy lives, who are prone to things like impatience and ungratefulness and anger and self-centeredness and greed. And God chose to take on human flesh to live among us who are so far below him, and not just among us, but in our place, to live in our stead so that he can give us real hope and give us a real restoration of the relationship between us and our God. From beginning to end, Jesus' life was never one that was full of glamour. It was never a Hollywood movie. There was no fairy tale here. Jesus was born in humility, he lived in humility, and he died in humility. He became for us truly human. He set aside that full use of his power and glory as Almighty God, and he became for us one of us, a human being. He didn't just look like us, he didn't just act like us, he truly is a human being, and he had to do that to live in our place. That's what he did. Every single day, he faced temptation, and every single day he said no. Every single time. Every single day he lived in our place, and he fulfilled perfectly the will of our God. And then in humility, he allows himself to be handed over to his enemies. He allows himself to be counted as one who is guilty, counted as one who is unrighteous, and he goes to the cross and he dies. A real death. The Son of God died on the cross for us. It didn't look like Jesus up on that cross, or it didn't just look like Jesus. It wasn't some imposter. He didn't just go into a coma on the cross. Jesus died for us. And he died with the weight of the guilt of our sins squarely on his shoulders. The reality is that this is the very reason why Jesus was born. This was the plan from the moment he came into the world. The plan was for Jesus to die. That's why we celebrate tonight. We need Christmas, because without Christmas, there's no Good Friday. Right? Christmas is happy and joyful because we know what this baby would do. It's not just his birth, but we know that he would pay for the sins of the whole world by his death. That he would win the victory that we could never win, the victory over all of our enemies that are too powerful for us to even fight, the enemies of sin, death, and the devil. So Jesus had to come, and he had to be both God and man. As true man, he was our substitute in death. And as true God, that sacrifice that he made on the cross, it wasn't enough just to pay for the sins of a few, but for the sins of the entire world. That salvation, that payment, is real. The evidence of that, the proof of that, is Easter. That Jesus' payment was enough. Because those ladies, they run to the tomb and they do not find Jesus wrapped in cloths and lying in the tomb, because he had risen in victory over all those enemies that we could never defeat. He had risen in victory over sin, over the devil, and over death itself. And it's all of this. It's not just his birth. It's this divine man's life, death, and resurrection. It's all that Jesus did for us that's so important for us. Because without all of his work, there is no hope. There is no salvation. But we know that Jesus accomplished that mission, and so with him, there is that hope. It's only through this child who was laid in the manger, but who is now risen, and who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Only in him is there salvation for us. It's real. Every other religion, every other man-made religion, every other supposed way to find hope, to give us help, to relieve us of some agony, or to give us some relief in this life, or to bring us some enlightenment, every other way is a fairy tale as made up as a Hallmark movie. But through Jesus Christ, we have real salvation. The message of the angels tonight is God's message to you. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. do not be afraid. What Jesus' birth means for us in our real life right now is that we have the privilege of living without fear, specifically the fear of death. You can live your entire life without being afraid to die. You can live your entire life without the fear of being judged by our Almighty God, because your sins are forgiven in Christ. And so we look at all those things that we are prone to do, all of the selfishness, all of the self-centeredness, all of the being quick and prone to anger. We look at all the things in our life that we regret, right? Those things that we said that we wish we could take back. Those actions that we wish we never did. The hurt that we caused in people's lives that we wish we never did. We think about all of those sins that weigh heavy on our hearts. We think about all the guilt that we carry with us, all of our regrets, and we know that all of those are washed completely clear from our record. That because of what Jesus has done, that when God looks at us, he sees us as holy. He has declared us righteous and innocent in his sight because of this Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is why the angels sing. The rest of the heavenly hosts recognize what an awesome event this is, the culmination of thousands of years of prophecies and promises from God. They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward mankind. The very fact that this child, that Jesus Christ, that the Son of God is laying in a manger, this is proof of God's favor towards us, of his goodwill. Right? This is evidence that God wants us to be restored in our relationship with him. This is God saying, I want to show you grace. I want to give you forgiveness. I want to save you. I want you to be forever with me in my heaven. And that's why Jesus comes, not to distract us from our earthly life, not to give us momentary relief from pain or struggles or worries or hardship. Jesus came to bring us eternal peace with God. There's no greater gift that the Son of God could come to win for us. And indeed, he did. So the angels, they come to these ordinary, common, but very real shepherds, and they tell them exactly where they can find the Savior of the world, the Son of God himself, the promised Messiah. Say he's wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Go run to Bethlehem and find your Savior. It's not the case for us, right? Jesus is no longer wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We don't have to travel. We don't have to go to a nativity scene. We don't have to watch a moving reenactment of that first Christmas night when we get home tonight to feel his presence, to feel like we have Jesus in our life. We know exactly where he is. He's in his word. He's in scripture. Jesus is the word made flesh. He says, I am here with you truly and actually when I offer to you my body and blood in holy communion. And it's through these things we know that Jesus brings to you the blessings of this holy night. It's through these things, through word and sacrament, through the means of grace, that he fulfills his promise to us to be our Emmanuel, our God with us forever. He comes to us, and it's through these things, these means of grace, that he creates faith in our hearts, that he unites us to himself. It's through these things that we are sure that we are in him and that he is in us always and forever. So let's Christmas Eve, let's join Mary, let's treasure up all of these things, let's ponder them in our heart. Let's meditate on the truths of Christmas and what they mean for us in our real life. We know that right now we really and truly are forgiven in the sight of God. That he holds no sin against us, that he has removed those mistakes, those past errors, those sins, as far as the east is from the west. We know that we truly are treasured as God's own people, that is our sense of belonging, that is our sense of worth and value in our God's sight, that he sent his son to redeem us, that he loved us so much that he said, yes, I am going to save you. Because of Christmas that we know that we have a purpose, that we know that we're safe, that we know that we have this confidence that heaven is our home, that is our future. Let's join the shepherds in glorifying and praising God for all the things which we have heard and seen in Jesus, which are just as they have been told to us. Jesus is the real Messiah, the real Savior, born in a real place who brings real hope and forgiveness and salvation. for us, his people. Merry Christmas. Amen. Please rise to the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.